It's good to see all of you tonight, and we appreciate your making the effort to be here once again for our period of worship. It's hard to believe this is January weather. As nice as it is, a little warm in here in the building this morning, and maybe a little bit warm tonight. But at any rate, it is January, and God has given us a very beautiful day wherein to come together to worship. And not only that, the promise of rain tomorrow and on Tuesday. And the meteorologists are saying that we perhaps maybe have somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 3 inches. And so that is really exciting. That'll help fill up the tanks around. The book of Hebrews chapter 5 and also chapter 6 talks about exercising our faith. How many of you are on an exercise program, by the way? Anybody in here? Some of you? None of you? No, there are a few that raise their hand, and that's great. You know what? Everybody needs to exercise bodily. Paul says that bodily exercise profits little, but with godliness there is great gain. Paul talks about the fact that we ought to exercise in a very spiritual way. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and in chapter 6, the word says that we are to exercise our senses to be able to determine between that which is good and that which is corrupt, or that which is evil. You know, it's important for us to have faith, but if we don't exercise our faith, it is of little value. Jesus spoke about certain kinds of faith. He talked about those that had great faith. He said to Nathanael, "I've not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel." And Jesus would often say of his disciples and others who would hear him speak, he would say, "O ye of little faith." I want to ask you tonight, how strong is your faith in God? How strong is it? And are you exercising it? We know that the physical body, if you could draw a parallel here, or an analogy, that the physical body grows stronger because of exercise. We know that to be true. You could eat all the right kinds of foods. You could do all the right kinds of things regarding your meals. But if you don't exercise your body, you're going to be out of shape. You're going to have problems in your life. We know that medically and scientifically. Well, the same thing is true regarding our spiritual life. It's important for us to feed upon the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. And we understand that. But it's not enough just to come and listen to the Word of God, or maybe even sit down at home in the comforts of your own home or living room or wherever and read the Bible. That's just not enough. We have to put into practice, or we have to exercise our faith. Now tonight I want us to talk about how we do that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God." And I would remind you also that there are various kinds of faith. You cannot go to God with a shallow faith or a little faith and expect God to bless you. God blesses great faith. He does. He says, so when he says without faith it's impossible to please him, God's talking about a genuine faith in God. Now, I know that there are a lot of people tonight who say they have faith, but their faith is very shallow. It is. I heard about an Irishman one time whose name was O'Malley. And he had proposed to his girl on St. Patrick's Day, of all things. He gave her a ring with a synthetic diamond in it. Well, the excited young girl showed it to her father, who was a jeweler, believe it or not. He took one look at it, and he saw that it wasn't real. And so his young bride-to-be, on learning that it was not real, returned it to her future husband and protested vehemently about his cheapness. You can only imagine. Well, what he said would astound you. He said it was in honor of St. Patrick's Day. He said, "I gave you a shamrock." Well, believe it or not, there are people in our world who have a sham of a faith. Now, it's not enough to say that you have faith in God, because sometimes our faith is so easily shaken. But in the book of Romans 1 and verse 17, Paul says, For it in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, how do you live by faith? Well, we know that we get it by reading the Word of God. We don't get it any other supernatural way. The disciples said to Jesus one time when they were in his presence, Lord, increase our faith. And they were asking God to do that. But we know that the way God increases our faith, and we're going to talk about that tonight, and how that really happens. One of the ways that it happens is through the reading of the Word of God. For Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Our day-to-day lives consist of a walk in faith as God's children. But in order for us to grow our faith, and that's what we're talking about, Jesus said one time, if we had faith so much as the grain of mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, be thou moved into the sea. But God wants us to have a greater faith than that. I believe that faith is something that God says that we are to exercise when we are ill or when we have physical problems. The Bible in the book of James says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I think it's important for us to exercise our faith when it comes to illness. But our faith must be exercised on a regular basis. It's not a, haphazard way of exercising our faith. When problems come up in our life, we ought to use those problems as opportunities for us to exercise our faith. Let me ask you tonight, what kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do you have in your life when it comes to your family? Or when it comes to your marriage, or when it comes to your job, or your business, or your finances? Do you know what God's will is in all of those areas? I can tell you what God's will is. God's will is that you prosper, and that you prosper spiritually, and physically, and financially, and materially. He does. In the book of 3 John, that little book over in the New Testament, only one chapter in 3 John. It's just there all by itself. But in 3 John chapter 1, that first chapter in verse 2, John writes to the early church. And he says, Beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. You see, John says that our soul ought to prosper as well as wanting to prosper in a financial way. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 says, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the Spirit. He says, For to be spiritually minded is death, but carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7 again. You've heard me use this passage many times, but it's so true. He says, Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. Now think about that a minute. How do I acknowledge Him? You know, we can go along with the trust part where God says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. But how do I go about acknowledging God? For He says, if we acknowledge Him, then He will direct our paths. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes, for the fear, he says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. How do you remain a person of faith when everything around you speaks of unbelief and doubt? We live in a negative world of uncertainties. Think about it. Every day there's so things that are so uncertain. You're going to get up in the morning and you'll think about the uncertainties of life. You may think about them tonight as you lay your head on your pillow. You'll be thinking about all the uncertainties of what's going on in our world. What's going to happen tomorrow? This doubt of unbelief exhibited in our life and projected to people with whom we know. Now, let me ask you something. Are we influencing them? Are we allowing them to influence us? Well, now I know I said a lot to get down to where I really want to speak tonight. And that was just the introduction, folks, believe it or not. But I'm going to get you out of here on time, so don't get upset. What are the exercises that we must engage in? Well, First of all, we must begin the day, every day, with a faith picture of what we see God doing in our lives. You know what? That's how we acknowledge God. You ever thought about that? What do you see God doing in your life? You know, I hear people say all the time, I'm so blessed of God. How are you blessed? You ever acknowledge God? You ever acknowledge that to someone else and tell people it's not you, but it's God who's working in you? That's acknowledging God. It's saying, hey, God is the one who gave me what I have. God is the one who blessed me with good health. It wasn't because I was necessarily eating the right kind of foods and taking the right kind of vitamins, but God is the one who blessed me with good health. Do you acknowledge Him in that? When God blesses you financially, do you say, boy, look what I did? Or do you say, no, God blessed me financially? If you have a happy marriage, a happy home, do you say, God blessed our home? We ought to have a picture in our mind, and we ought to be able to acknowledge that to other people of what God is doing in our lives. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, our faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Every morning, we ought to get a picture in our mind of what we see God doing in our lives. And you know, if we just did that, think about how much happier we'd be. If you just stop, we always talk about how we ought to count our many blessings day by day, name them one by one, and we are so blessed of God. I'm going to tell you, we are blessed of God. You may be going through a problem, but you're being blessed of God. We need to see what God is doing in your marriage. We need to get a faith picture, whether God is active in your marriage, whether He's active in the disciplining of your children, whether He's active in the relationship you have with other people, your finances, whatever it happens to be, and acknowledge that to other people. Tell other people. That's really how you acknowledge God. And I'm telling you, folks, confessing Jesus as Lord is much, much more than just walking down an aisle and standing up here and saying, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I think you confess Him before men, not just before the church. And we begin to acknowledge Him out in the world in which we live. And people have no doubt and they have no question about where we are religiously in our relationship with God. They know that we are children of God. And as you meditate and pray about your day, expect God to speak to your heart and tell you what He has in store for you. Now, I know a lot of people shy away from that and they think, well, I just don't believe God puts things in your heart. I'm going to tell you something. I know without a doubt that God puts things in your heart. Let me ask you a question if you don't believe that. You ever pray the official Church of Christ prayer? Guard, guide, and direct us. How many times have you ever heard that? Well, what does that mean? That means that God is going to guard you. That's not praying amiss to ask God to do that. James says there are ways that we pray amiss, but that's certainly not one of them. When we say, God, we want You to guard us, we want You to guide us, He's promised that in Proverbs the third chapter, verse 5 through 7, and direct us. And we ought to ask God to do that every morning when we get out of bed and ask God, God, what do You have in store for me to do today? What do You want me to do? Put it in my heart. I know God's not going to speak to me, but He puts it in my mind and He puts it in my heart. And we pray that all the time. I don't know how many times people pray. They say, well, you know, Father, bless Dan that he may have a recollection of what he's prepared to say tonight. I know that some of you wonder whether or not he does that. But he does. He does it. And we ought to remember that every day too, that God does speak to our heart. He does. He puts it in our heart. Again, Proverbs 3 says that. So acknowledge God in that way. Begin to see what God is doing in your life and acknowledge that to others. But secondly, begin to confess to one another the things that you see God doing. Acknowledge it, but begin to confess to someone. When's the last time you told someone what God is doing in your life? Sometimes we're just real silent about it. We're just real quiet. We never say anything at all. We really don't. Sometimes we think, well, people will just see that. They don't see it. They have to hear it. One of the ways that I think we reach the world is by telling other people what God has done for us. You know, a number of years ago, we kind of shied away from that too, about people getting up and telling other people what God has done for them. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus said one time, go into the world and tell them what God hath done for you, what great things God has done for you. You think that won't strengthen a person's faith? It does mine. It has mine. I've seen it. I've heard it. And it strengthens my faith. I know sometimes just being quiet, you can learn from people that are quiet. I heard about a school teacher one time who injured his back. And he had to wear, you know what I'm talking about, one of those plaster of Paris casts that they had to wear around his upper chest torso here. And anyway, he kind of fit under his shirt where he could still go to school and teach. And anyway, one morning he walked into the classroom, and on the first day of school, still with the cast under his shirt, he found himself assigned to some of the toughest students in that school. And walking confidently into that classroom and into that school, he opened the window as wide as possible. And then he busied himself at his desk with his work. Well, when a strong breeze made his tie kind of flap, you know what I'm talking about? He just reached over and took the desk stapler and stapled the tie to his chest. And I'm told that discipline was not a problem from that day forward. Now, you can learn a lot of things from people. I understand that. You can. But it's important that we hear it. It's important that you verbalize it and that you say it. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, but since we have the same spirit, he says, of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, and also believe, and therefore I speak. Paul says it's important for us to speak what is in our heart. In the book of Philemon, chapter 1, in that, again, a little one-chapter book in the Bible, the writer says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement, he says, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I just can't emphasize that enough. It's important for us to tell other people what God is doing for us, but we are so silent. It's important for us to know it and to see what God's doing in our life, first of all, but it's important for us to tell other people what he is doing in our life as well. For Romans 10 and verse 8 says, but what does it say? He says, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He says, it's in your mouth. And it is. What do you desire to see God doing in your life? If I could ask you that question tonight, what would you really want God to do in your life? I think these are things that we have to confess to one another also and ask other people to pray about it. But number three, faith comes by looking for and finding the biblical solution. That really is what faith is all about, isn't it? Is finding the biblical solution. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you should meditate, he says, upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. You want to be successful in life? Go to the right book, to the solution to the problems that we face in life, and that is the Word of God. Sometimes we just have to say, God, help me understand why this is happening, why it's going on. You know what? It's not wrong to question God in that way. It's wrong for us to question whether or not God means what he says in his book. But it's not wrong for us to go. Even Jesus did it on the cross, didn't he? He said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? It's not wrong for us to go into the presence of God and say, God, what lesson is there for me to learn through all of these problems? And then start exercising your faith. And I'm going to tell you something. God will reveal it to you. We need to learn God's word. The Bible is just simply a book regarding people just like you and me. You ever thought about it? Paul went through some of the same problems we go through today. Matter of fact, a whole lot more of them. Stephen did. Bartholomew. John. Timothy. Titus. I mean, you could just name all of them. They all went through similar problems. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. But number four, your faith picture must be put into action. It is not enough to say, I have faith. Now, let me tell you why that's true. In the book of James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, and all the way through verse 26, some 12 verses there, he says, if someone says that he has faith, but he does not have works, can his faith save him? Thus also, faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. For faith without works is dead, being alone. We must exercise our faith in God every day. I saw a little thing on the internet the other day, and I thought this was just classic. This is really, really good. And it really talks about having the right attitude in life. And believe it or not, it's entitled, How to Stay Young. You know what? Bernie came up to me tonight, right before the sermon. Right before this sermon. And he said to me, you know, I said, Bernie, how you doing? He said, oh, I feel great. He said, I feel renewed. I said, you know what? You just made my day. For a 92-year-old man to come up to me after my sermon this morning on renewal and say, hey, I feel renewed. Boy, what a thrilling moment. You know, all of us ought to every day. Life is like a 10-speed bicycle. You ever thought about it? Most of us have gears we have never used. It is true. How do you stay young? Try everything twice. Now, you may not agree with all this. One woman's tombstone, she said she wanted the epitaph put on it. Tried everything twice. Loved it both times. Number two, keep only cheerful friends. The grouches will pull you down. Number three, keep learning. Learn more, believe it or not, about the computer, crafts, gardening, whatever. Never let the brain get idle because an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Number four, enjoy the simple things of life. The things that we often take for granted. Simple things like a beautiful sunset. Number five, laugh often, long and loud. Laugh until you gasp for breath. And if you have a friend who makes you laugh, spend lots of time with him or her. But number six, tears happen. Endure grief and move on. The only person who is with us our entire life is ourselves. Live while you are alive. And number seven, surround yourself with what you love, whether it's family, friends, keepsakes, music, plants, hobbies, pets, with the exception of cats. Your home. Your home is your refuge. Number eight, cherish your health. If it is good, preserve it. If it is unstable, improve it. If it is beyond what you can improve, get help. Number nine, don't take guilt trips. Take a trip to the mall, even to the next county, to a foreign country, but not to where the guilt trip is. Number 10, tell people that you love them at every opportunity. Forgive those who made you cry, because you may not have a second chance. Faith exercises. Last of all, expect changes to come. After you are firmly established, and after you have firmly established your faith picture of what you desire in your life, begin to expect real change to come. You know, a lot of times people pray without expecting God to do anything. Someone told me not long ago, a woman came to my office and we were talking about some of these things, and she just made a statement. She said, I pray every day, but I don't really think God's going to do anything. I said, what kind of prayer is that? That is not a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is a prayer that moves the hand of God. It's true. It takes a heart of anticipation and expectation for faith to be fully released and alive. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray," listen to this now, listen closely. He says, "Believe that you receive them and you will have them." Boy, what a promise from God. Now that's not me, that's God. Jesus. But you pray in faith. And you know what? God knows whether you're praying in faith or whether you're praying in doubt. God knows whether you're anticipating. Sometimes I think when we pray and we're like that woman that says, "Hey, you know, by the way, she's not a member of our congregation. So you don't have to be wondering about who in the world would that be." But she like the woman that says, "Well, you know, I'm going to pray, but I don't believe God's going to really do anything about it at all." You know, sometimes I wonder if God doesn't look at us and say, "Well, you think I'm not going to do anything about it? You know what? You're right. I'm not." You pray in faith, believing. That's what Christ said. You want to see your unhappy marriage change? Begin to expect it. Do you want to see your ability to discipline your children change? Expect it and become more consistent. Do you want to see your financial situation change? And this, I'm serious about this. Expect it. And do what you can to improve it. As I told you, faith is like a muscle. It is. It is. We got a lot of good table muscles, spiritually speaking, too. But few of us really exercise those muscles to make them stronger. It must be exercised. Faith is like a sunrise. It is fresh every morning. And you know what? Every morning when we get out of bed, we ought to wake up. We ought to wake up every day and say, "God, I want you to do something great in my life today. Let me be your instrument of peace. Let me be your instrument of joy. Let me be your instrument of sharing the gospel and telling someone about the saving grace of Jesus my Lord." And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's the kind of faith that God blesses.